Welcome to Voices in the Wilderness, conversations about church and leader health. Thank you so much for listening. We encourage you to keep the conversation going. Voices in the Wilderness is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we empower and equip churches and leaders to create lasting and transformational health. Visit amazed15.org to learn more. We also welcome any comments or suggestions. Simply email us at podcast@amazed15.org. My name is Marcus Carlson, and today our guest is Joe Oliver. Welcome, Joe.
Hi, glad to be back.
Yeah, awesome to have you again. Excited to talk a little more about church and leader health. So maybe just a brief reminder, if people didn't hear the other episode about you and the work you're doing these days after many years in the secular world and in the church world.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, thanks for having me on. For those that don't know who I am, that's okay. I'm not well known. But for the past 24 years, I have been in pastoral ministry in the Treasure Valley, that's southern Idaho, in the Boise area. And most recently, I have stepped out of pastoral ministry to start a new ministry with my wife called Stories of Tove, where we work to share and rejoice in the good things that God's doing in our world, helping those who are maybe skeptical, who are spiritually curious, who still believe, maybe just not like they used to, how they can see that God's story is still good, and that there's still a place in it for them. And that's what we do now, where we make content that shares different things about God and the Bible and faith and religion and all that fun stuff. I have a master's in biblical theology. And I've also been in the for-profit space for some coinciding at the same time where I was bivocational as a pastor and also working in different roles from marketing to director of operations in some companies. And so also being a part of building teams and systems for organizations that are trying to move from a startup position into a scale up place in their organization, which is an important transition for any organization that's growing. How do you move from everybody wearing multiple hats and doing everything at all times to systems and processes, and now all of a sudden there's departments and not everybody has their hands in everything? How do you create those systems to see continued growth and creating a good foundation for an organization to build upon? So I did that for probably 12 years of my career as well, that coincided with ministry. And so that's a little bit about me and my background, and I'm so glad to be back.
Awesome. Yeah, I love it. I love the diverse background. It's, I've learned more and more that working in both the secular and the sacred world it actually really helps your work in the other. And so I continue to lean into that. So in the midst of all that, you've been a part of churches for a long time. What would you say have been kind of some of the biggest joys and the biggest challenges serving in the church? Maybe not just as staff, but even as a volunteer, as we think about the health of the church as a whole.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that really stands out to me as a great joy is the belief that you're actually contributing to a bigger thing. There was a book that a sociologist, Daniel Pink, wrote a long time ago called Drive. And it was assessing what allows someone to have self-motivation. So you have two different kinds of motivation. This is kind of maybe in the business world. There is some overlap. There's two types of motivation, right? Carrot and stick is traditionally how people think of motivation. And so, the carrot being, if you do more, I'll give you more money. The stick being, if you don't do more, you'll get punished, right? And so these external type of what we believe are motivation, but they're really not. Daniel Pink comes on the scene and says, how do you get someone to have intrinsic motivation? And he identifies three things that every person who's self-motivated seems to have. And he identifies them as autonomy, mastery, and purpose. So if anybody in your organization feels like they have autonomy, which means they have a voice, a way to contribute their opinion, they have mastery, which means they believe they're actually good at what they're doing, and they have purpose, they know the why behind what they're doing, those create an intrinsic set of motivation within someone to succeed that's independent of the carrot stick model. So I find that very fascinating, just from a sociological perspective, because I think in churches, there's a sense where when you're volunteering, you're doing a bit of that. You have a bit of autonomy. You feel like, oh, I can greet someone, or oh, I can, I'm really good holding babies, or, I can help out with communion, and you feel good that you're empowered to do something. But the biggest thing I think within a church context is that third one, it's purpose. That when we help people see the greater contribution that they're doing to the kingdom of God, that is such a big motivation to people that want their lives to make an impact for God in His kingdom. So for me, the greatest joys that I've had in serving is when I have felt that way, when I actually felt like, man, I'm really making a difference here in the ways that I'm serving, whether that's as easy as just saying hi to someone at the door. It was always important to me. I love door greeting. It's my favorite place in a church. It's just my heart and my goal is that every person that walks through that door, I want them to feel like I see them and I'm glad they're there. And so that was like when I saw that in people, and then I would always do a thing where if it was a guest, met they would say, "Hey, my name's Joe. Welcome. Come on in. What's your name?" That kind of stuff. And then I would get on my phone and my notes app, and I would type their name. And the next week, if I saw them, you better believe I was looking. I'm like, "Yep, that's Carl." And I would walk up, "Oh, Carl, so good to see you again. I'm so glad you're here." And just to see their eyes light up to go, "This person actually remembered my name." That stuff just brings me tremendous joy, and has brought a lot of life to me over the years is when I have felt like my life is in my time is actually contributing to a greater kingdom priority and ethic. So, what was the second part of your question?
Challenges. I mean, you talked a lot about just the joy, but what have been some of the challenges?
Oh boy. I think the challenges sometimes for me is when I feel like there's a guilt-centric model for participation, where it's frustrating when it's there's a statement I remember. One of the first pastors I ever served under would say all the time that we lead with inspiration, not intimidation. And so I get frustrated when I see our inability to communicate clearly good vision that causes people to be inspired. And I have felt the pressure of that as if I'm not there on a Sunday, if I take a day off, if I had one time, this was when I was a youth pastor, and I was probably, gosh, 2.5, almost 3 years into serving full time at this church, and I had a newborn, my first son, Michael, and I was holding him. As I was spending time going around praying for different people, and the lead pastor came to me and said, "Hey, you need to go put Michael down so you can be at work." And I just remember feeling so discouraged by that, by going like, "Wait a minute, I'm holding my son as I go and pray for people. Like, how is that a breakdown in what's important at this moment?" And unfortunately, that was viewed as something that could have been distracting and taking away from my job at that moment. And that was very discouraging for me. So, things like that, when we're leading in such a way that actually demotivates people, That's discouraging, and I see that with leadership a lot, where it's almost like this is the message that you hear, and this is what frustrates me. Hey, we had a couple people that can no longer serve in nursery. We need more volunteers to serve in nursery. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. Would you go put your name down because we need your help? Okay, that's not inspiring. That's not going to get anyone. The only person that
It
you're going to
might get
get
the
that does
wrong
that,
people, actually.
yeah, you're going to get the wrong. You're going to get people who feel bad or guilty that a need's not being carried out instead of someone who genuinely desires. Now, it's like, well, no one wants to sign up. Well, that may be true, or maybe your vision's just really bad.
Right.
Like maybe you don't have a compelling enough vision to help people catch the beauty of caring for these infants and whatever that looks like. So those things are frustrating to me, where we're leading from a place that doesn't inspire and oftentimes turns to intimidation, as if I'm not doing it, then I got to feel guilty that it's not being done and there's something wrong with me now because this need isn't being met. That stuff frustrates me. I've experienced it firsthand, and then I hear it all the time in churches that I visit, places that I've even served. So.
Yeah, makes sense. Now, and I think a lot of that's fear-based stuff, right? It's not necessarily malicious or not even necessarily bad intent. It's just all fear-based. What have you learned throughout your life and work about the importance of church health and organizational health in general?
But there's when I would go in, so years ago, it's maybe been 5, 8 years since I've been in this space, but 6 years since I've been in this space. But when I would go in and work with teams, and part of my job is to help build healthy teams within organizations, and I would say this, for your organization to be great, your people have to be great. And I believe that that is true not only in the for-profit space, but in the nonprofit space. For your organization, whether that be a church or a for-profit business, if you want that space to be great, the people have to be great, which requires of you to invest into people. We tend to want to invest into systems. If you do this system, you remember
Or
the purpose-driven
program.
church? Like that, just sweep the nation. Every church in the world was doing Rick Warren's, not every church, but you get what I mean. It was huge in the evangelical space, was like everybody was doing the purpose-driven model. Like, this is it. I remember back in the late 90s, early 2000s, Stephen Covey's, everybody had to have a vision statement on their wall. Like, this is our vision, purpose statement, and I remember sitting in team meetings where this was discussed for months because we got to have this and let's put it on the wall. And we spent so much time working on systems, which I'm not saying they're not important, but if you prioritize systems over people, you're going to put the cart before the horse. And so I think what's important, and this is what you do, and this is what your ministry is all about, is leader health, right? Like, you're not going in going, oh, guys, let's stop doing it this way and do it this way. You're going like, where are you at? Where's your heart? Where is your mind? Where's your emotional, spiritual health? Let's work on getting you to a better place, because when you are in a good place, you will lead others out of that good place. And so leader health is so important. So, for instance, if you're only doing if you're a pastor and you're only doing one-on-one meetings with your people once a month, you don't know what's going on in their life. One-on-one should check-ins, at least minimum 15-minute check-ins, maybe an hour every other week, but at least once a week you've got to be checking in with your team. How are you doing? And it's not like, tell me the numbers of your ministry. How many people came to the youth group that night? Or, how many people are getting baptized in whatever? No, how are you doing? How is your wife doing? Or spouse, significant other? How are your kids doing? What in what ways have you taken steps this week to pursue Jesus for who he is, not because of what you're doing for him?
Exactly.
Like, these kinds of questions are so vital for a leader to understand where your people that you lead are at in order for you to actually provide real actionable support. What was the, there's the quote, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, or what
Yep,
you,
yep,
that
yep, something like
old
that.
adage,
That
right?
sounds right. That sounds
Yeah.
right. That sounds like the right
So,
quote.
yeah. All that to say, like, I think health, leader health is so vital because I do believe for your organization to be great, your people have to be great, and you need to invest into people to see that happen. I think for me, personally, it's all those things are easy to say until you're in the midst of ministry.
Right.
And so, like, I know that there might be some that are listening to this going like, okay, Joe, yeah, I've read those books too, right? Been there. But dude, I've had three divorces that I've been working through, an affair in the church that I've been working through. We have kids that are in whatever, right? There's all these things that take our time. They take our attention as ministers, that we are just carrying the load of multiple people. And it's not, a lot of times it's just that there's an emotional weight
Right.
of sitting with people in their mess. And so I get that this is difficult to do. This is where good systems, I think, come in play, where you actually are able to organize yourself in such a way, whether that's scheduling calendar, time away. And it's like, well, I can't take time away because we've got VBS, and then we've got camps, and then we've got, some whatever is up on the liturgical calendar that we've got to plan around, and all these things, right? I get it. But if you don't plan, and if you don't act intentionally now, you will not last in ministry.
For sure.
Or you'll last, but you'll just take everybody down with you.
Right. Yeah, your toxicity will ruin everyone else.
So it's like, say no now for a greater yes tomorrow.
Right. That the good is the enemy of the great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think for me, the balance was, how do I stay healthy in the midst of working through everyone else's mess? I mean, for lack of a better word, we're
Yeah.
just walking through mess with people over and over again. For me personally, I find that early mornings are really great for me. I love getting up. I love drinking my coffee. I love summertime because I can come out in the cool of the morning before it starts getting really hot, and just sitting, and sitting in silence. I find, for me, having conversation with my wife about what I'm reading and thinking about is very therapeutic for me, where I include her in my journey. I know that there are some traditions of ministry that would say that no, your spouse shouldn't carry the weight of that. For me, our relationship is that we share those things, and it actually is life-giving to me because she's there to help walk with me through stuff. And
Right.
so I have found in my ministry, when I didn't share what was going on in my heart and mind, that's where unhealth really kicked in for me. So it was really important for me to break that behavior of unhealthy patterns, to be vulnerable and transparent with my wife
Right.
about everything. And so I would, that required sometimes when people I would meet with go, I don't want anyone to know this. And I would stop. I'd say, I understand that. One, if this is harmful or
Right.
harmful to others, right? I'm legally bound to actually share this, so I gotta say that. But two, I'm reminded of the movie Armageddon with Bruce Willis and Liv Tyler, old school, old 90s movie. If you haven't seen it, but they bring Bruce Willis in to NASA to do this thing, and his daughter's with them, and they say, "Oh, she's not allowed in." And Bruce Willis stops him, says, "You can either let her in now and tell her, or I'll tell her when I get home. But either way, she's gonna know." And they're like, "Oh, okay." I've always taken that approach with my wife. Like, there's just no secrets.
Right.
There's just no secrets. And I share things with her because she's actually my wise partner. She's my etzer, biblically speaking. And so she provides really good wisdom for me when I'm really processing difficult things. And because she knows me better than I know myself. So she knows, like, Joe, you're actually overthinking this,
Right.
or Joe,
Spot
I
here
think
or
you're reading into that, because she knows my tendencies better than anyone. So she's able to catch me to go, and for me to go, "Oh, you're right. I'm probably overthinking, or I probably misunderstood that," because she knows my story. So that's a place where I find a lot of health when I'm able to be vulnerable and transparent with her. And then I do have some close and personal friends that I live as authentically and vulnerably with as well. And so you got to be wise when you find those people in your life, because I know there's a lot of tragedy stories with pastors that thought they had that, and then it ended up hurting them. And it makes us very gun shy as pastors when we experience that kind of pain. We're like, "Okay, shut it down. We can't talk to anybody." That's just unhealthy, and that's the enemy working. And so I would encourage anyone that any ministers listening to this saying, "Gosh, I wish I had that." I would say, first off, try your wife. Second off, continue to fight for that, whether that's in a ministry network that you're in, like Pastors for Pastors, Prepared for Amazement Ministries provides, or that's in whatever denominational support you might have. I mean, just you got to find it. You got to have it. So I think that's a lot of it. Pastors tend to bottle everything. We tend to carry it in here because we don't know who we can share things with.
Right.
And
And
yes, we
some
can go
things we
like,
shouldn't.
So I just think the more we pull it inside, it's that's unhealthy.
Yeah.
That's unhealthy. And so we got to find outlets. And that would be an encouragement I would have for anyone listening, is do you have who's your outlet? And there are some, so don't lose
Sure.
hope if you've been
And we can
discouraged with
find them
them.
and you can get more. Yeah, any other advice you would give leaders to in order to have a healthy church?
Boy, celebrate often.
That's a good word.
Celebrate often. There's so many discouraging things that can happen in the life cycle of a church. People coming and going all the time, relapses of things that you thought were once conquered, there's just a lot. Always celebrate. Always have something to celebrate. Every single Sunday, you should be celebrating something from the stage of your church. What did God do this week? A story that you heard, a spiritual battle that was overcome, a marital situation. And you don't have to share names. You don't have to, like, get into details, but celebrate. And then this one's huge. Celebrate your team often.
Yes, yeah.
Because we're really good at celebrating, like, "Oh, look at the big church, look at what we did. We served 150 people at the food bank. We saw X amount of people baptized this week. Oh, praise God, all that God's doing." No. Go even deeper. Celebrate your team. "Hey, I just want to recognize this week, our children's minister has been crushing it back there. They are such a blessing to this church, and we would be lost without them. And I want to encourage everyone after church to go bombard this person with the amount of love and thankfulness for the amount of work they do taking care of our kids." Like, celebrate your team often, publicly and privately.
Yeah.
Call your team. Text your team. When's the last time you told someone on your team how thankful you were for them?
Awesome.
Right?
Awesome.
So that's celebrate often. Celebrate everything often.
Perfect. Gosh, Joe, I love having these conversations with you. Hard to believe that we've like been talking for almost 25 minutes now. Really appreciate you coming on and sharing your thoughts as we continue to do this work, and appreciate the ways that you have contributed to the kingdom.
No, thank you, man. I'm so glad to be here, and hopefully we'll do it again soon.
Awesome. Awesome. I hope so too. Thank you so much for listening. We encourage you to keep the conversation going. Voices in the Wilderness is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we empower and equip churches and leaders to create lasting and transformational health. Visit amazed15.org to learn more. We welcome any comments or suggestions. Simply email us at podcast@amazed15.org.